Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Horror Homeroom. I'm Elizabeth Irwin.
I'm Gwen Hoffman.
I'm Dawn Keatley.
And on today's episode, we're journeying into the forest, a 2016 horror film situated in
Aokigahara,
a place in Japan known internationally as the Suicide Forest. The film borrows liberally from Japanese mythology, but should it? In this episode, we're considering the forest place within the natural horror canon, while also debating where the line is when it comes to cultural appropriation within horror. So stay tuned.
So when I was reading through the reviews, it was pretty poorly received overall. Yeah. And I really don't think it was that bad. You know, I guess maybe that's just my opinion. I thought it was, there was a lot of tension, some dread. I think that there was some serious topics covered.
Yeah.
So I loved it.
I wouldn't say I loved it, but as I had mentioned earlier, it got 10% on Rotten Tomatoes,
yeah.
Like overwhelmingly negative reviews. And that's not right either.
No.
It was better than that.
I think I probably would have been one of the overwhelmingly negative reviews. I didn't like this at all. Although, I guess there were some interesting elements. Definitely a film worth discussing, but this is not the type of movie that I would sit down and watch if I didn't have a purpose behind it.
Okay, why not?
I just didn't, it didn't feel like horror to me. It felt like drama with some tension elements in it.
See, and interestingly enough, I actually liked it better rewatching it now than I did when I saw it in the theaters. Because I think, you know, when films are in theaters, too, you have high expectations. And I think we were talking recently, too, that I haven't really enjoyed any horror film in the theaters anytime recently. But when I rewatch this, and maybe it's because I've been talking about trauma so much at my place of work, and I run so many trainings on trauma, that I was able to see it through a new lens, and it made me enjoy it more for different reasons. Maybe less horror, but more so for how it handled certain subjects.
I could buy that. I definitely think the trauma element was interesting. But I guess for me, it's just this constant frustration of here we have another white female character going to another place and all the cultural appropriation that's happening. And it's just a repeated trend that you're seeing in horror, and it just gets frustrating after a while. Especially for me, the story didn't back it up or make it interesting enough that I could overlook that.
See, but I know you like to talk about grief a lot, especially grief and horror.
Yeah, I do.
How do you think that this weighs out when you're thinking about grief and horror?
Well, we talked about how the different sort of tactics that the film uses to advance the grief, I think mm-hmm. it's fair to say. I don't want to give away any spoilers, but...
Oh, we're going to give them away. Yeah.
Can we give away all the spoilers then?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
So,
I mean, it's 2016.
Yeah.
I do like the way it builds with the reveal of what happened to the parents and how that sort of fuels her relationship with her sister as well as her search, because there seems to be like multiple stories going on at once. And I like the way that grief sort of underscores all of them.
Should we maybe say, since we are giving everything away, what the basic narrative or plot is here so people can get the,
yes, we should.
The grief
yes.
or the trauma? One twin, Sarah, who's played by Natalie Dormer, goes into the Aokigahara forest to look for her twin sister, Jess, also played by Natalie Dormer, who's been disappeared in the forest for several days. And as Sarah is about to go into the forest, she sort of reveals to a stranger in a bar that their parents died when they were little. And she says something really interesting. She says that Jess saw what happened to their parents, but that she didn't. So the film is sort of like, it's about Sarah looking for her sister in the forest. And it's also about, I think, and this is where the grief and trauma comes in, right? It's about Sarah kind of coming to terms with what happened to her parents. You kind of get the sense as the film goes along that she said she didn't see what happened, but you get the sense that she never really came to terms with her parents' death. And then you kind of have the third narrative, obviously, of the supposed spirits in the forest, the Yuri, the angry spirits of the dead that are tricking her, planting illusions in her head, trying to trick her into killing herself. I guess there's a fourth layer, too, in that there's a guide, Aiden, also Western American. He's a reporter for an Australian magazine. But yeah, he may or may not be a psycho killer. So there's kind of four layers, four things going on.
That's true.
And interestingly enough, too, like I think when I rewatched it, I saw the film as more about her understanding and discovering her trauma more so than suicide and the suicide forest. I think that that was just a timely backdrop to kind of contrast what was going on with her to help her evoke and, like, recall some of these memories. But maybe that's just me.
Well, I just flinched at the backdrop because that's exactly the colonizing argument, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just take this gorgeous place in Japan and it just becomes a backdrop for some wealthy white American psychological struggle.
Like, what is even comparable? Like, really? I mean, especially in the United States.
But it really relies on the history of the place.
It actually does.
And I think that they make a point in the film to talk about how it's part of their history. That forest is part of their history.
Yeah.
And even, too, if you look at it outside of the film, a lot of that suicide forest is part of Japanese history. So I don't think that that's necessarily just for the film.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because I read something that said how they used to publish statistics about how many people each year died in the forest, and they stopped doing it because it was bringing too much attention. And it made me think about how films like this sort of perpetuate or glorify this sort of romantic notion of suicide. Because even though you don't say
it... Was it romantic?
I thought in a way it was. Here you have a woman going into the forest who is dealing with a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
And we never really get an understanding of the other twin. The twin who's already missing, who she goes in to look for.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that all of her trauma is left unexamined, and then we also know is compounded at the end because... she's going to realize her sister died saving her.
Yeah.
Which is a better twist than M. Night Shyamalan could come up with on his own.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I feel like he has not been successful at a twist since The Sixth Sense. Maybe that's just me, but I'm dropping that bomb. But I thought that this at least had, you know, some good plot twists, which was good. But I also feel like they did get a little bit into the sister when they really just, I think Sarah was talking a bit about just Jess is lost. She's in pain. And she tried to kind of create a narrative. And as you said, she looked. And I'll never forgive myself because I didn't look.
Yeah.
And she, so.
Well, here's the thing. I actually think maybe Jess isn't lost or damaged in any significant way. Like, I think she's actually literally just lost. I mean, when Sarah's boyfriend, Ian, finds her, she does seem to be just sort of like, yeah, I was lost
physically
for a few
days.
Yeah. I was just lost in the forest. I think Sarah's really the damaged one, and maybe Jess is not so damaged because there's the most important line in the film, I thought, was when Sarah said, she looks at the dark stuff, I turn away.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Jess has just been able to confront what happened better and is
I agree
healthier.
With you, 100%. I think that Jess was actually dealing with it in one way or another.
Yeah.
She was thinking about it. She was trying to protect her sister. And in that same quote that you were talking about, she says, I should have shared it with her. And
but
so her not dealing is what leads to her demise.
Yeah, her not looking at the dark stuff. It's actually an argument for horror films, looking at the dark stuff, like confronting what's ugly and scary.
I guess my one issue with that is that the film makes such a point of saying to get into the forest to where they were, you have to literally step over wires and warnings. So she clearly stepped into the forest in a part she knew that she wasn't supposed to be in. If she had gotten lost just on the trail, that would be one thing. But it almost seemed like she went into the forest with a purpose, but maybe changed her mind. Because that was part of the narrative, right? That sometimes people put up like little tents and sort of reconsider. And her tent was up.
Yeah.
So I feel like she did go into the forest with a purpose. But it's tricky, though, because the only things we really know about Jess come through the lens of Sarah.
Sarah, exactly.
And I don't think she's a reliable narrator at all.
Oh, God, no. Though we do get little glimpses of the school kids that Jess has been working with until very recently. And they love her. And, you know, Jess seems to have been like a very functioning, positive teacher. I guess I thought maybe her going into the forest and going off the path, you know, where she wasn't supposed to go, is just another sign of her looking at the dark stuff. Like, she's maybe confronting her own suicidal impulses. But like you said, Liz, she takes the tent, she puts it up. That's, I think Mitchie says, that's a sign that people are reconsidering.
Yeah, I would buy that.
So I think it's maybe just another another part of her sort of healthy way of dealing with grief.
So was I the only one who was upset about the cultural appropriation? I'm looking at Gwen's face, and I think that might be the case. It's just there's such a legacy and horror of that occurring. I actually made a list of some films. Great. Voodoo for the Trilogy of Terror. Mm-hmm. And Angel Heart, Chucky, The Serpent, The Rainbow. Whenever you have concepts of voodoo, I feel like this is handled in a very similar way. They take what's useful to the film and to create and establish this elaborate backdrop, but the characters don't really interact with the history of it in ways that exceed their own need. And they do the same thing, too, particularly with First Nation burial grounds. So we have the Pet Cemetery, which we talked about. Yeah, Amityville Horror does it. Oh, The Shining does it as well. They all use, you know, the idea of, like, this Indian burial ground and use that as a trope. And it felt like that's very much what this film was doing, but with the forest.
I can see that argument. I think I just struggle. I mean, tangentially, yes, they did try to address it. They talked about how that this forest is, again, part of their history and an important part of their history. And it is. And the culture there is very, very different than our culture, you know, as far as the understanding of suicide and, you know, because they're not a Christian country or culture. They've got Shinto and Buddhism and whatnot. But I guess for me, it's because there's really not a lot of other comparisons. Like, okay, yes, you know, because even too, I was trying to look at, you know, things like popular places for suicide. We have the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not really comparable, I guess, in my mind.
It's interesting, the one of the negative reviews I read in The Atlantic, Lenica Cruz made this kind of argument, and she actually flipped it around, and she was like, how would it be if a bunch of Japanese kids came to the Golden Gate Bridge? And I don't know, jumped off, or the Golden Gate Bridge just isn't as interesting as the
Aokigahara. And even when I was looking at, like, across the world, like, some of the top places for suicide, like, the majority of them are bridges. Yeah. Well, that doesn't make a fantastic
film.
You
can't really have a horror
film. Hey, everybody, let's come to a film. Let's all go to the bridge.
But think about how this movie would have read if it had been Japanese characters versus American characters. I guess that's where I struggle, is I didn't understand why American characters had to be superimposed into the environment, when I think having it be Japanese characters who really understand the history and that's something that's, like, been ingrained in them culturally, I think the movie would have read differently, at least to me.
So you think if, like, I mean, they could, maybe if they were American but Japanese American, or just plain Japanese, like the Natalie Dormer character, Sarah Jess, if they had been Japanese and the exact same plot, you would have, like, that would have been okay?
A similar plot, yeah. I think, like, chasing a family member in to try and, you know, save them. I can buy that. But I just felt like, why did it have to be American characters?
I don't know. Because then I watched that Grave Halloween film, that made-for-TV film.
Which you really need to explain.
She was Japanese-American.
All of that.
And I don't think it really did anything.
But that sounds like the movie.
Like, anything at all. Over the blood.
But this is, like, a more...
her mother was Japanese. And, you know, she was going into the forest after a family member, you know, trying to perform this ritual. And boy, was it ridiculous. I mean, it was fantastic, but it was ridiculous.
But tonally, these are two different movies.
Yeah, 100%.
You need to fill 100%. People in on the movie that you watch.
Yeah, I feel like Great Halloween was a little bit more ridiculous. It was much more of a teen... I mean, it's not a slasher film, but it kind of read more like one of those, you know, I Know What You Did Last Summer type teen horror films, as opposed to this. Like, I just felt that the forest built a sense of dread, and I felt an eeriness in that forest that I didn't maybe in a Grave Halloween, because in Grave Halloween, it was just a bunch of douchebags in the forest. Yeah, and even the Japanese characters that were involved,
Is it an American film?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't think I wrote anything down about it, but because I just wanted to enjoy it. It was a good time. It was a 2013 made-for-television movie, PG-13, 90 minutes, and it was fun. I don't regret that 90 minutes, but again, I don't think it added anything.
But this was clearly an attempt at, like, a serious horror film.
The Forest.
The Forest.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Make sure
that that's clear.
Like, totally. Yeah. They're so different that I don't even 100%. Know that
100%
there's different. A comparison to be made in terms of the characters, though.
And I'll be honest, too. Like, when I think about how I reviewed it in terms of grief, trauma, and even suicide as a serious subject, I don't think it was intended that way by the director. Because I watched several interviews with him online. I was watching, you know, him talking about his film. And I didn't get the sense that some of these things were his intention. I mean, they were great after effects.
What, this Jason Zeta?
Yeah.
You saw interviewed. So all of the things we think are good about the film,
I don't think they were really that intended. And maybe that's my perception
okay.
of it.
Oh, interesting.
I think that it was more so...
What was he trying to do? Like,
I think everybody was excited to have Natalie Dormer and Taylor Kinney involved
okay.
in the film. I think definitely people were trying to sell a film. It sounds like, you know, from what I was reading, he might have looked at Wikipedia, saw some article about Aokigahara Forest, and was like, oh my gosh, there's nothing been written about this, so I'm going to write something about it. Even though you discovered, too, there's several things that have been kind of done about this. Forest of Lost Souls, Forest of the Living Dead, Grave Halloween,
they all
Sea of Trees.
They came out about the same time.
They did. And I think the only one that really came out before The Forest, like well before The Forest, was Forest of the Living Dead and Grave Halloween. So he just kind of saw an interesting opportunity for a film, got some great people signed on for it, and went with it.
It's interesting, though, hearing you read the years of when all those films were released, it does sort of tie back into the question of, does it inspire people? Because you have the Logan Paul controversy that happens in 2017. And so if there was sort of this rash of films being made that deal with the forest, the suicide forest, you have to wonder if that didn't sort of inspire him.
No, he's a millennial. He really probably doesn't think about anything other than himself.
Well, okay. I can't wait to hear from the millennials. That's going to be amazing. But I'm sure that it was not even on his radar.
He didn't seem that very self-aware. I should say aware of anything other than himself.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, even just to go into that forest with a camera, stupidity, upon stupidity, and then to post it with his dumb hat on. Like, yeah, I don't think that he was probably even paying attention to anything that was out there other than that there's a suicide forest and I can get some hits from this.
It's interesting, though. I watched this with two other people, and both of their reactions was, oh, that's, like, not a good movie because that's going to make people want
to...
And I'm like,
well,
first they're
going to
have
themselves?
To... Right, well,
first of
not
all, the
to,
stats are out there. I was going to say, the stats are out there. Talking about it doesn't make people want to kill themselves.
Right, but I mean... In terms of making people want to go to, like, this beautiful area and have, like, one of the people literally said, oh, I wish there was a place like this in the United States.
We have forests
I have
everywhere.
Really bad friends.
We are filled with forests. Pennsylvania,
I know, but
New
one
Jersey.
That has sort of that, like, historical legacy behind it that I'm just saying, I think there's something almost romantic about it for some people.
I thought suicide was quite contagious. I mean, I don't have any data.
Yes, I mean, the more likely, you're definitely much more likely to have the thoughts, have attempts, if somebody else in your life has attempted or completed suicide. But talking about it doesn't necessarily implant ideas in the head. Not talking about it is much more dangerous.
Hmm.
Like, if somebody is on the edge, not talking about it is
worse.
What makes it dangerous.
Yeah. I guess I just thought things like newspaper reports and all of that actually did give people ideas. Because I think the media is pretty... Well, no, they do report on suicides, don't they?
It is interesting, though, how the language has changed around suicides. Because it used to be, oh, he committed suicide. Now it's, you know, died by suicide. And I just think that's pretty interesting. Because we are seeing, like, sort of a cultural shift when it comes to how suicide is discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that raises the question whether you think, I mean, I guess we have to say that Sarah does commit suicide or die by suicide at the end of the film, right? It's not clear that she knows she's doing it. And I wonder what that means. I mean, when she slits her wrist, she thinks she's trying to escape from the spirit of her father who's trying to drag her down into some basement or hole or something.
Yeah, that is a good point, like how much agency she really does have at that point. Because I guess you could say, well, if you're predisposed to suicide, perhaps you're already struggling with, like, perspective to begin with. But that seems a very not sympathetic viewpoint to take. So I don't know that the film would do that.
But she must have been showing signs, because really early in the film, when Sarah's talking about her sister Jess, she's like, oh, she's lost in pain. She was trying to find her way. She's tried this before. But then it's Michi says, don't go in the forest.
Yeah.
And she says, why? Yeah. And she goes, and he says, well, you're sad. So it was written all over her. You're sad. You probably shouldn't go in there because you're going to follow the Yuri. You're going to end up off the path. You're going to get lost. I see it.
And it is established early that she's in serious denial, because whenever she's asked about her parents' death, she creates this whole separate story that isn't even remotely close to the truth.
And even realistically, when she's starting to recall some of those memories, I think about the two sounds that she heard. They didn't sound anything like a car crash. Yeah. When do you ever hear a car crash go bang, bang?
Right.
You know? What do? Hit you, back up, hit you, back up? No, there was definitely something else going on.
I mean, it could be actually, and this goes back to what you guys were saying earlier about how this film is about grief and trauma. It could be a really interesting view of how someone is driven to kill themselves by a force they're not even in control of. I mean, it seems like that's kind of the metaphor that's going on here, right? Like, she's almost like dragged into the forest, driven to kill herself without being aware of wanting to or even being aware of doing it. I mean, I don't know if that's how suicide it feels to some people, or how the desire to kill oneself feels to some people. But that seems to be what the film's doing.
Well, and it's interesting, too. So I kind of come back to, like, the ideas of the paths. And then I also kind of was thinking about the ice caves. When they were talking about the ice caves, they said they've never been explored, and they're the gateway to the other side. And isn't that – one of the ice caves that she fell into?
Yeah.
So she essentially inadvertently was falling into the gateway to the other side. So, I mean, it's kind of been set up as a film about her trauma and her grief and loss.
How would you compare, because for the movie that you saw that I did not watch, how would you compare sort of the depictions of suicide? Because you had said to me a line was
freaking
crossed, and I didn't think you had any lines.
No, I know. So, I didn't think I had a line either.
I was amazed.
I didn't think I had a line either. So in Grave Halloween, and it's tough to say because I'm such a horror fan, and I love such gore, and I love the preposterous, and I love shock. I mean, because I'm a child of the 80s, so I love gore and shock and crazy, right? But in Grave Halloween, there's just this teenage boy that's such a jerk. And he kind of shows up out of nowhere. And while the other students are kind of going through the forest, unbeknownst to them, they don't know he's anywhere nearby. He's hanging from a tree with a bag over his head as if he's one of the victims of the suicide forest. As his friends are as these other teens are walking through the forest, being led through, he starts jerking around, thrusting about, drops down from the tree, and starts chasing them through the forest. And I know it was probably set up as a twist to make me hate this kid even more and make me just relish in him dying. Yes, he dies, as if all of you guys are really going to watch that film. But still,
I'll watch it.
And I was so excited he died because he was such a jerk. And I think that the line in the sand for me was like, wow, like you really just pretended to be a suicide victim in the suicide forest. And you dropped down and chased people who were there for a somewhat serious mission. I think that just kind of crossed something for me.
It sounds so ridiculous that it would be impossible to even take it seriously.
I felt so angry about it.
So were you angry because, like, this was cultural appropriation? Like,
no, she wasn't mad about that.
No,
well,
first of all,
it sounds like it's, like, cultural appropriation upon cultural appropriation upon.
It was, but like, first of all, the kid was just a 10. Jerk. And I know it was set up to make me know that he's a jerk, but I think it was just, I don't know, maybe it was because I watched it after the forest, and I had done all this, you know, I was doing additional research on Japan and suicide and the cultural understanding of suicide and the prevalence of suicide and how it had reached all-time highs for youth because of bullying and all these different things. And then I watched this film, and I'm like, God, this kid's a freaking jerk, dude.
Was he Japanese?
No.
So he was American.
He was a stupid, doofy white kid with bad hair.
A white American, and he was chasing a Japanese girl.
He was, yeah,
right?
She was Japanese American. I mean, she, I don't know if she was
problems.
Yeah, I don't know if she was born in Japan.
It sounds like the offensiveness of that film.
Yes,
like,
it
makes
is
the forest sort of pale in comparison.
Still a good film, yeah. but yeah, absolutely.
Well, I watched another film, and this one
is... Let's watch one that was actually good.
This is really good. I hope somebody out there watches it so I have someone to talk to about this, because I think I might be the only person who watched it. But it's The Forest of Lost Souls, 2017, and it's a Portuguese film. And it takes place in sort of their equivalent of a forest. And it starts off that it's an older man. I say older, probably like 10 years older than myself. 50s, I guess.
Oh, so like 5 years older than you.
No. 8 years older than me.
3 years.
But his daughter has committed suicide, and he comes into the forest because he wants to commit suicide as well. And he encounters another younger girl, teenager, who is also there to commit suicide. And it starts off where it's a conversation between the two, and you think, okay, it's just going to be one of those talky kind of films where they're just exploring their subconscious and all that good stuff. But it quickly veers into almost home invasion, fatalistic horror. Mm. And the way it gets there is super interesting, but it leverages the idea of the forest in a way that sort of fuels the action. So it felt less icky to me than the forest did.
So you felt like the forest was more of a real force, like rather than background, or like
it was almost because it was so specific in how it was using it. Like the forest was literally there as a location, but it was showing that suicide doesn't just exist within the forest. Mm. So it wasn't just marginalizing the forest, if that makes any sense.
But the forest didn't show that it only existed in the forest either, because you have a murder-suicide at home that is completely paralleling the whole entire...
That is true.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, you're right.
That was like the founding suicide.
I mean, that's a
film.
Key thing.
Yeah.
It's almost
you're
as
right.
if she has to go into this historical forest to mm-hmm. understand her own history. And that, I do feel, was intended.
Well, I'll buy that. And that would change my reading of the film.
Whole new podcast right
Whole
now.
Whole new podcast. So well, let wait. Me rewind. I love this movie.
isn't that a version, though, of... I mean, isn't that still kind of appropriating...
I feel like she just had to be able to look into the darkness. She wasn't able to look into the darkness until she thought she was doing it for somebody else. Because it's a lot easier to talk about problems and the ucky yeah. stuff and the dirtiness when it's on somebody else's yeah. plate. And when she thought it was all about Jess, I'm yeah. here to save Jess. She's sad. She's tried to commit suicide A, B, and C times. I'm the savior. I'm going in here. I'll be fine. And then she goes in there, and I'm sure we'll get into this too, but that's when she starts to see. She finally looks into the darkness.
Yeah.
And she starts to see her own history through this historical forest. She looks at that Viewmaster, which we'll get into, and starts to see her past. She understands clearer. So,
but she's still taking from the forest
yeah.
and not giving anything back.
What's wrong with pulling from nature? Who hasn't done that? Gone off into the forests and written fantastic poems,
but it's the
songs.
Fact she got on a plane and went across the world to another forest. If she had just gone into her backyard, I think
she couldn't
that
do it on her
different.
Own plate.
Yeah, I mean,
because America is about her. Again, when you're dealing with your problems, it's easier to deal with other people's problems. So she had to chase Jess. Jess happened to be in another country, and I think that made it easier for her. And then just so happens that looking for somebody else, she found herself.
I still feel like that's just too close to, like, rationalizing appropriation.
Like
I see what you're
I'm
saying.
I'm probably giving more credit than was intended.
Yeah.
Yes,
I think it's a
absolutely.
Really interesting argument, for sure.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, and I think that's, for me, that's the best thing about this film, that in the end, it all ends up being about Sarah. When mm-hmm. we thought it was about Jess, like, everything is about Sarah and her profound inability to grapple with what happened to her. And I do think it's interesting that she has to fly all the way to Japan to be able to see what happened in her own basement. I mean, I think that's kind of interesting. And yeah, she can only grapple with it through her sister. She can only deal with it imagining it happened to someone else somewhere else rather than to herself in her own basement. I guess I had a question for you guys. You know, when Sarah says she didn't see but Jess did, do you think that's true? Or do you think she did see and then shut it out? Like sort of post-traumatic amnesia?
I start to think that too.
I mean, I'm not sure what the answer is, but that, yeah.
Yeah, I thought she did see because there's so much emphasis on reflection, like through the viewfinder and also how she projects onto her sister, that it felt like she did see it and was looking at different, like, mechanisms to keep the images at bay.
And again, we were talking a little bit before the podcast just about, like, you know, recovered and false memories.
Right.
And that whole debate and just how people remember traumas. Sometimes they just manifest much later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes these pictures or these feelings or these intrusive thoughts just start to come back. And they're not full pictures because when you have trauma, it impacts your idea of time and chronological narratives.
Absolutely.
As well as you remember things in terms of senses instead of anything that makes sense to somebody that hasn't been traumatized. So again, that's why I loved the idea of that Viewmaster, because it was just these little snapshots that kind of just came out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden it became clear. And it was years and years later. So that's what also led me to believe that she had seen more than she chose to remember, her brain would let her remember.
And the Viewmaster is actually, like you were saying earlier, a brilliant way to get that across.
Because
they're sudden, but there's also like a distancing thing. Like the Viewmaster is almost like protecting you from the things you're seeing at the same time that it's bringing them right up there suddenly in front of your face.
Yeah. I loved that. Like I said, whether or not they intended it that way, it was a fantastic. That was probably my favorite aspect of the film is that Viewmaster.
But you guys definitely think this falls into the camp of horror.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, would you say, that's interesting to me because I would say, because we've had this conversation, that Get Out is horror, but you would say drama. And it's interesting we're reversed
on
this.
Like,
I felt like this was drama to me.
Ooh, we may have to get into sticky conversations about why. And I'm trying to, like, why do I think that's horror? Well, there are spirits. The one famous scene where the spirit comes up behind Sarah in the forest, I think at night while she's moving and it's right behind her. And, you know, suddenly like the jump scares with the Viewmaster too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that those moments when things that aren't natural, that aren't normal, like materialize in the frame.
And it crosses those boundaries between just life and death.
Yeah.
What's real and what's not.
For me, there just wasn't that building of dread. And it's interesting what I guess read to you guys is like jump scares. To me, read is like predictable. So it didn't have that impact. So maybe that's where the difference is.
If you were to rule out every film as horror just because the jump scares are predictable.
Well, that's true. I don't know. It just didn't, like narratively, it seems so weighted to drama with just like a few horror elements in it to me instead of it being the reverse. I don't know.
So then, how do you feel that the forest itself, not necessarily this specific forest, but just like nature lent itself to the narrative? Because for me, I think there's also something, and it's interesting because they talk about how it's not really the largest forest out there. Realistically, you should be able to get in and out, but so many people just can't. And it just kind of brings to me how you can go into any forest and get turned around so easily and lose all sense of direction. And it's that whole you can't see what the forest through the trees that is so prevalent in this film. How you can lose your path, you can lose your way, you can lose your direction, you know.
Lose your sense of reality, which is what I think Sarah does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's a metaphor, but it's also real, right? I mean, that is also actually what really happens when you're in a forest.
Absolutely.
I feel like that was conveyed better in, like, The Blair Witch Project, which is another movie I do not like.
I'm not a fan.
I love
I'm the definitely Blair
Witch. All
I think
about is snotty nostrils. Like.
There is that. Yeah. But that, I get more of a sense of what you're talking about in that film. In this one, it didn't – she was turned around, but, again, that didn't seem like a major – element to it because she was so deep into her own psychosis at that point that it didn't really matter that she was turned around in the forest. She was turned around in her brain. And I don't really think where her environment.
But I don't think it would have lent itself so well if this would have been outside of the forest.
It could have been, though, any other environment where other people weren't around. It didn't have to be the forest.
And it didn't necessarily have to be this forest, but I think that a forest itself, for me, really lent itself to the narrative, because otherwise I would just see her as a cuckoo bird. And because she was in this forest, on this journey, for this purpose, with this backstory, like, I saw her as much more normal. I saw her as sad. I saw her as tortured. I saw her as lost, theoretically as well as physically. And I think that it had to be in a forest. It was either that or a labyrinth, but there's not a lot of labyrinths laying around.
But I feel like anywhere...
Without David Bowie.
Anywhere she would have been in isolation would have accomplished that same thing.
No
so.
Way. Throw her in a bunker somewhere? No.
If she's by herself and then she's sort of delves
into... I would have just thought she was losing her mind because she was by herself.
But if she had gone into a journey into that bunker or that labyrinth... Or and looking for her sister.
Could we imagine it in some abandoned warehouse, like in Saw?
See, I couldn't.
Where she falls into some basement.
Maybe for me it's because I see such a component in nature itself in finding yourself, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. I mean, think about how many people you know in your own life. Where's your favorite place to be? The beach. It's those oceans. It's those tides. I like to go to the mountains. I like to go to... I just feel like so many people find inspiration and introspection and literally a path in nature. I mean, think about so many great works of, you know, literature that come out of nature, architecture that come out of nature. And I just think that there's a certain inspiration that comes from that. So that's why I think it had to be something that happened somewhere like this.
But let's say it happens in a cave on a beach as opposed to the suicide forest.
Like Arkansas Women's Prison.
Exactly. Yeah. So using that reasoning, it would have the same impact. So then why situate it specifically in the forest?
I guess for me, it is so easy to get lost in a forest. And the movie Descent's already been done.
That's true. Oh my God. Now that's a good movie.
That is a good movie. That's a fantastic movie. That one definitely had me on the edge of my seat. Like just those tight spaces.
Yeah, that was terrifying.
But I think when it comes to those tight spaces, I start to think more about escape. And a forest is wide open, and you still just get turned around. I don't know. Maybe it's just that. A beach, wide open, but there's really nothing to get lost in. So, I don't know. I mean, how many Bear Grylls or whatever, you know, man versus nature episodes were set in forests? It's so easy to get turned around, you know, and then you really have to dig deep.
It's true.
Yeah, making you think.
I will have to think about that more. Yeah. And sort of just to give people a heads up, we are thinking of doing urban horror next time.
Yes.
So,
yes, we are.
I mean, I'm not sure what I think about why it has to be in a forest specifically, but we can keep thinking about it when we watch, you know, talk about horror films that happen in cities and houses. I mean, the lost thing has to be crucial. It's almost something that's distinctive to a forest.
It is.
Right.
I agree with you.
Yeah. That you can, the trees can be relatively undifferentiated, you know, and you just have no idea where you are.
So I guess we have to just kind of figure out, do we think this trivializes suicide? Hands down.
I don't.
I don't think the forest does either. Come on, Ebert, to our Siskel.
It's difficult because I'm comparing it against the other movie that I saw. I would say probably not. I wouldn't say it trivialized it.
As Gwen reminded us, like the narrative begins with a suicide, the father's suicide and murder of his wife, and look what that does to the two daughters. It's hard to see that as trivializing.
And that was dramatic. I mean, that's life-altering. I mean, she's held that with her in the deepest corners of her brain until this age, too.
And it drives Sarah to kill herself without wanting to, without being aware of it, you know, when she's 30-something.
And I think it shows that suicide is just a universal problem. It's something that happened no matter which coast that she was on.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I think that being said, that we should share the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline which is 1-800-273-8255. I have to do my due diligence as a human service provider to share that. Because it is something serious.
Yeah.
And
it is very
no matter
serious.
What your cultural approach to it is, no matter what where you come from, it's not something to be taken lightly, and it's something that should be discussed in an open forum. So
I guess the only thing that bothers me about the movie is the way it does introduce sort of like the supernatural element possibility. I think if it had really dialed in on here's a woman who is going through all of this trauma and reliving that trauma in the forest and it causes like the psychosis to sort of come to the front, resulting in her own death. That to me...
But is it even a psychosis? I mean, because there's so many of those signs and symptoms of psychosis that can just be misread that are just symptoms of PTSD. And if
more like PTSD type psychosis.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and you're exactly right, because there's quite a bit in the film that sets up the fact that these Yuri might actually be real. I mean, the whole first part of the film, right? Numerous Japanese people, like the schoolgirl at Justice School, the woman who works at the ranger station, Michi, they're all like, the Yuri will try to trick you, make you see things, make you want to die. So, yeah, is that a problem?
See, that was consistent in my Grave Halloween film, too. Same exact
really?
Things. Yeah. Oh,
that's
absolutely.
Interesting.
And I was even reading, you know, a little bit more about it online, because I love things like that, like golems and Yuris and what. And that's the thing is, I think that sometimes, too, that's why we have to go to other countries, because our country doesn't have a very strong sense of this mysticism. Because even if you find it here, it tends to be kind of co-opted from somewhere else.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, unless you start to look at Native Americans, which, again, is probably why it's taken over in so many horror films, because we don't have a rich culture of it.
It's true. Even vampires and zombies are from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of our own cultures, do we?
So you seem to think it's a problem, then, that the supernatural reading of the film.
I do, because that to me is the one element that possibly makes it a little bit iffy when it comes to its depiction of suicide. I think it really should have just gone all in on the fact that here's a woman dealing with trauma and this is the end result, because sometimes it is the end result.
Whereas, problematic because there's something else kind of leading her off the path?
There is a suggestion at the end that maybe these forces did come and play with her mind, and that's the reason that she
But they won't if you're not already sad and in despair. And I felt like they really tried to set that up early on in the film that...
There's a difference between being sad and slitting your wrists.
Yeah, there is, definitely. But I just think that...
It just took a little bit of her agency away. And that bothered me.
It took a lot of her agency.
Yeah.
I mean, however you read it, I feel like Sarah doesn't have any agency.
We're also coming from a background where we didn't grow up with something like that in our history as something that's real.
But neither did she.
No, she didn't. But I guess I'm not ready to write them off. I don't know. I guess I like the idea of the Yuri.
I like the idea of the Yuri. I just don't like the way it was deployed in relation...
Because they already said that they were already people that maybe had passed with unfinished business or passed in horrible circumstances. So they were already themselves angry, upset, sad beings. So they're just kind of continuing on that legacy.
It's a classic horror narrative, too. Like, to have that sort of uncertainty, whether something is psychological or supernatural. I mean, I'm thinking of the Haunting of Hill House narratives. I also think about the Black Swan in relation to this film for some reason, but that's purely psychological. And it sounds like it's almost like you wanted the film to be more of that.
Yes.
Just about one woman and her, well, trauma and grief.
That to me sounds like a more interesting movie than what we got. I appreciate what they tried to do, and I didn't hate this movie at all, but I don't know. It bothered me that she didn't have full control at the end when she made that decision, because I do think she made that decision. I don't think it was supernatural.
I don't necessarily think it was supernatural, but I also don't think she made the decision. I mean, I think that's kind of what was interesting to me. It was like some interior compulsion drove her to kill herself, and she didn't even realize what she was doing. I mean, that's
I think she came in and out because when there's the scene with Aiden and she's not sure whether he's trying to kill her or if he's a serial killer, that whole subplot annoyed me.
I was like, what is happening here?
I don't understand what's... I was excited when I thought he was a serial killer and that he was, like, stashing these bodies. I was like, okay, now I'm in. And then it wasn't that.
So do you think it wasn't? I mean...
I think he was just a newspaper person trying to get a story and that she was sort of in those beginning moments of that psychosis and took him out when he was trying to help her.
I mean, there were moments when I was like, oh, yeah, he is acting a little suspicious. And I thought maybe he was the killer that she thought he was. But, yeah, I guess I figured in the end she was just projecting stuff onto him and he was just some normal kind of out for himself.
Yeah, he's probably my least favorite character.
Yeah, he was like, just trying to get a story. Like, I'll take
the girl in the ranger station over him. He just didn't add much for me.
I liked sort of the sliminess of his character because you start off thinking, oh, here's just a nice guy who's going to stay with her when the guide is like, no, I'm peacing out. This is ridiculous. No one stays overnight. And then you find out, you know, that he's making up the stories to try and gain identification with her. And then he just wants the story. And I don't know. I liked that a little because it did add a little bit, added something. I just didn't enjoy it as much. I'm sorry.
So we have two thumbs ups.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Again, I think my thumb went further up the second time I watched it. The first time I watched it, it was kind of like in the middle. But this time I was like, I really did.
I mean, I'm kind of stunned that it got such bad reviews because I do think it is a really, really interesting look at denial and grief and trauma. And I love how everything gets projected onto Jess and and we slowly learn that the film is actually all about Sarah and what she was unable to see. And I think the forest adds something. I'm just not sure I can articulate what it is. And then you weren't a
huge
fan.
Well, my thumb is down. Mainly, I know. I guess if you're really bored, it's not going to be a horrible movie to watch, but it's definitely not something I'd recommend. Honestly, I think the idea of it is way more interesting than the execution, and the acting is not good, which is not uncommon in horror films.
Average.
I mean, it's definitely not the worst I've ever seen, but I feel like to sort of hammer home some of the more subtle elements that we've talked about, in the hands of perhaps better actors, maybe some of these things would have been conveyed. I didn't quite buy it.
Yeah, I still couldn't understand how their iPhone batteries lasted this whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's unrealistic. That is the most unrealistic part of this
film. And she fell into a cave and then was able to pretty much bounce back up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Well, but it's suspension of disbelief, right?
But you do have a film to recommend in...
I do. The Forest of Lost Souls.
The Forest of Lost Souls.
Yes.
Which is a Portuguese film.
Yes.
And then we have a film to not recommend.
Grave Halloween was still good. It's still worth watching. If you like your teen horror genre stuff that's just a little over the top, you're not looking for any serious plot line, you're just looking for some fun and some goofs and some shocks, yeah, sure.
I'm going to love it.
Sounds like you should plan on not paying for that then.
No, please don't. Please don't.
All right.
Well, okay, so we're divided. Let us know, guys, which side you come down on. And until then, we will see you later.
Bye.
Bye.